We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to Wes McElroy on Sports Radio 910 The Fan, and now on 105.1 FM.
5 o'clock hour, Sports Radio 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, and thank you for cranking us up, whether it be on the radio or the radio.com app. Coming up is the head coach of the XFL DC Defenders, Pep Hamilton, as they roll into week two. Pretty good debut in week one, both on the field and off of the DC Defenders, but now it's the act number two. And what does the XFL and what do the Defenders have in store? You'll hear from the head coach later this hour. Welcome in. Good to have you aboard. You know, if you miss anything, you can go to thefanrichmond.com. So, yeah, if you think today's weather outside was messy, whoa, it's been a sloppy day in sports for a lot of people, including the VCU Rams last night, who had an opportunity to take care of business and may have just put themselves out of the March Madness business with that loss to George Mason. We'll get back into that because they just made a tough road even tougher after that loss last evening. But that was not as messy as the Houston Astros, and that was pretty darn messy last night by the Rams. But the Astros today, it was a bad situation to begin with. And you wonder sometimes when it comes to public relations, how you have public relations, meaning relations with the public, making things better, and then things go worse. Billy Ripken, former Major League player, 10-year Major League Baseball vet. He's got a new book out, works with the MLB Network, does a fantastic job. Love having Billy on the show. He's going to join us here in a couple minutes because today, this was early morning press conference down in Florida, Jim Crane, Dusty Baker, Jose Altuve, and Alex Bregman, they addressed the media over the sign-stealing scandal that they were involved in 2017. And when I say they, I don't mean Dusty Baker because he has just been appointed their manager. If you were looking for a baseball comparison of how it went today, the best comparison would be swing and a miss. Because you had the owner, Jim Crane, speak, and you had both players who, at that point, answered in prepared statements. Probably would have been a good idea to have the owner do the same because Jim Crane got into this situation and just made things worse. And this is the one that is going to haunt him because he was asked the question about some of the teams that the Astros beat. And he was asked specifically, what about the Yankees of 2017?
Mr. Crane, what do you have to say to the Yankees and teams that you beat in 17?
Listen, the Yankees have had a few comments out there. You know, our opinion is, you know, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
Our opinion is this didn't impact the game. All right, first off, Mr. Crane, nobody is leaving anything at that. Not with this story. You can say that, and that's the famous. That's a great public relations, you know. And that's all I'm going to have to say about that. I love the guy at the podium or the microphone when he's asked questions. Well, that's all I have to say about that. It's not how it works. But the Jim Crane sat there and tried to sell that this didn't impact the game. That the Astros electronically stealing signs in 2017 didn't impact the game. Yes, it did. And this isn't the first time he said it. So this wasn't a slip of the tongue. It's like steroids. If it wasn't working or helping, why did you keep doing it? Because it did work. Knowing what the pitch was, it had an impact on the game. And if you fired your GM and your manager, well, if this wasn't a big deal, then why fire somebody? The Astros had an opportunity today to make it better. And both players and owner made it worse. I got more thoughts on this, but let me bring in right now a former major leaguer, and you can see him on the MLB Network. You can also check him out on XM Satellite Radio. And Billy Ripken's got a new book out, Stay to Play, the Old School Guide to New School Baseball. And Billy, kind enough to join us here on the Hadid Rug Cleaning Hotline. First, Billy, great to have you back on the show here in Richmond, and there's a lot I want to pick your brain about. But first and foremost, what was your reaction to watching the Astros and more so watching Jim Crane today?
Well, I've heard about it. I'm in Arizona, and I was doing a piece for MLB Network where I'm going to do five coaches, and we're going to make an hour-long show. So today I was spending time at the White Sox camp with Don Cooper, the pitching coach. I've heard the comments, and I heard your opening remark or your remark right when before I got on. I can't see how anybody could make the statement it didn't affect the outcome of the game, because knowing what pitch comes is pretty vital in some areas of success. And I think in some cases, pitchers will look back at the Houston Astros and go through their mind, man, when I threw that 1-2 slider that just missed and he didn't even offer at it, and then he hit the next pitch in the gap for a double and drove in two runs, I think some pitchers might have a little bit of a varying opinion on whether knowing what pitch is coming matters or not.
Billy, you have in the background, the baseball background, there's a lot of different ways I can go with this. So I'm going to let you go where you want with this. And the question really is, as a former major leaguer, we knew sign stealing happened, but this was over the line. This was illegal. What burns you the most about what the Astros did here?
Well, it seems that in some cases when I sit there and look back, and every time something happens, we all play our memory game and we go back and think about things. It's just, there was a level of, there was some borderline arrogance in there on what was going on, how it was going on, the lengths at which players went. And, if you're running a monitor somewhere, a different monitor, somebody is like, this is premeditated, all master planning stuff. And how it evolved, I get it. I would probably rather hear somebody in Houston say, all right, look, we started doing some stuff, started out kind of innocent. This was fun. We did this. Then we started having some success, and we said, man, we can do this better. It became very addicting. The snowball started going down the mountain, and we couldn't stop. I think we would all rather hear that in a way and say, look, we're winning. It was success and all this kind of stuff than maybe some other stuff. So a former player, look, if somebody's giving you something, and the catcher puts down one sign with the man on second and you're out at second base and he puts a one down and the pitcher throws a fastball, you're going to try to get the attention of the hitter saying, okay, they're not trying to hide anything. But going through the video analysis and trying to break this and then doing it real time by using, that's the very definition in the commissioner's mind for sure, because he handed down the penalties. That's just cheating.
Billy Ripken with us here on Sports Radio 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Billy, should the players have been punished in this?
I'm going to say no to that the way it all played out. Because if you go back to 2017 when the commissioner's office sent out the message to all teams, if this kind of stuff continues, the manager and the general manager are going to wear it. And I think the commissioner thought that was going to spur the manager and general manager of every team to say, look, boys, if you're doing something, you better cut it out. If it didn't happen, I don't think that the commissioner's office necessarily in this particular case wants to take on the Players Association and the union to go after players in this thing. So the narrative and the message that was sent by the commissioner was clear in his mind. And when this thing went down and he decided to relieve the manager and the general manager of a year, and then the ownership group decided to do more than that, I think he spoke very loudly, and I think it's going to speak well for us in the future of baseball. We're still in the middle of one more investigation in Boston, and we don't know where that one's going, but I can't imagine the spring training when it starts now. I can't imagine a team not sending the manager and general manager into the locker room and say, boys, you guys are going to get paid. You guys are going to get yours. But I ain't going to let you guys do this and screw us over. So I think that's going to be spoken very loud and clear in all these camps starting now.
Billy, if I can make the transition, Billy Ripken joining us. His new book is State of Play, The Old School Guide to New School Baseball. And with what's going on here, and we've got rule changes coming up this year. We have the pace of play, the push for that. We have the new pitcher rule. We got Rob Manfred proposing a new postseason format. I know you've written a book about accepting analytics, which have changed the game. There's a lot of things that are going on with the game right now, and I don't. It feels in a way scattered. What do you see or feel with the game going into 2020?
Well, what I hold on to is the fact that the game on the field, it really is still played the same way. We can talk about all these other different things and how analytics have come in and we're using this and using that. I'm not necessarily 100% buying into all that kind of theory. Dad said you hit it, you pitch it, you catch it better than the other team and you win. And that still holds very true. I don't think there's any question about that. The Washington Nationals won the World Series this year. By the way, they had a 3-4 combination. Yes, the three-hitter and the four-hitter. Not their best hitters hitting in the two-hole. They had a 3-4 hitter that lined up against everybody else's team and said, I'm going to compete every single day. Rendon led the league in ribbies. That's right, ribbies, because they mean something to an old-school guy. And they had some big donkeys they put out there on the pitching mound and said, go pitch. And I'm not going to go take you out and move you for somebody else. So I think that the way the game is played still holds true enough that even if we do get a little fragmented from time to time, I still think you hit it, you pitch it, you catch it better than the other team, you still win.
And I can't wait to read your book, Billy, because this is a struggle that I've had. I'm 41, and I'm part of that old school. And I, a couple guys that you know, I'm sure, I've talked to Willie Harris when he was managing the Squirrels down here in Richmond, BCU baseball coach Sean Stifler, Tracy Woodson at Richmond. I've had to ask them because it feels weird growing up in a way, knowing one game, and then with the analytics and the sabermetrics to come along, it's like certain things that I used to value when I was a kid or as a growing baseball fan, now they're not sacred. They're not supposed to be important anymore, and it's weird.
Yeah, and look, they can still be sacred to us because, in the wins chapter in my book, all right, don't say wins don't matter because that's where the absolutes come into play by a lot of the new schoolers. Wins don't matter. That's their quote. Well, sure they do. Now, if you want to tell me wins might not matter as much as they once used to, I'll buy it. But I still hold true that there are pitchers in the game. If wins don't matter as much, losses do. And there are guys that pitch well. There are guys that pitch to the sabermetric numbers. They pitch to a quality start. They might do this. They might do that. But they hang a slider with one guy on with a one-run lead, and the guy hits a two-run homer in the seventh inning. They lose 3-2 because he hung a slider, but all his peripherals look good. He only walked one guy that day. He struck out 8. But he hung a slider when he shouldn't have hung a slider, and that cost him. So maybe the wins don't matter as much. Maybe we ought to look at the fact that losses still should. And just because a guy has a winning record and might have somewhat of a, shall we say, inflated ERA, I don't look down on that guy because he might make pitches when he absolutely has to. He may give up some goods. I get that. But if he keeps his team in the game and gets the guy out with 2 outs and a man on first instead of giving up a two-run bomb, maybe that's the guy that I'd rather have on my squad.
Check it out. State of Play, the old school guide to new school baseball with Billy Ripken. Billy, thanks for the time as always in Richmond. We love having you, man.
All right, boys, I appreciate you. Thank you.
You got it. Billy Ripken, like all guests, appearing on the Hadid Rug Cleaning Hotline, and Billy and Cal. Different ventures here and different things with youth baseball. Always been great to this area. Appreciate him jumping on. And that it is a book for me. It's I'm starting to get into the time of the year where I get to read more books, and this is – I've tried to read Keith Law. Brian Kenny's written a great book. It's for dummies like me who are now trying to understand the new game, but I like Billy Ripken's approach. I like Billy Ripken's approach in a lot of things, especially on TV. All right, let me do this. I'm up against a break. I'll come back. If you want to weigh in on the Astros, and our poll question today, since the Astros found a way to get everybody ticked off all over again, our poll question is up and available. If you were the commissioner of baseball, would you strip the Astros of the World Series? Would you put an asterisk on the World Series, or nothing should change? Jump on 833-804-0910. You can also vote on the poll at thefanrichmond.com.
You're listening to Wes McElroy on Sports Radio 910 The Fan, and now on 105.1 FM.
Get to the call of the night coming up. Oh, what could that be? We'll have that for you in 15 minutes. Wes McElroy, Sports Radio 910, The Fan, 105.1 FM, radio.com. Matt, thank you to Billy Ripken for joining us before the break. Always enjoy Billy, man. Just lets it fly. Candid. Calls it like he sees it. Enjoy him on TV. Enjoy him. Check out his new book. And once again, that is available on bookstores starting. Actually, it's started this week on Tuesday. You can check it out. Amazon.com. The latest from Billy Ripken. As far as the Astros go, like, let me paint a picture, because Billy said he was working and he's doing a feature there for the MLB Network. Let me give you a picture of just how bad this was. So here's first. This is Jim Crane. Give me clip five, guys. This is Jim Crane. This is the question again. He was asked about, what do you say to teams that your 2017 team beat?
Mr. Crane, what do you have to say to the Yankees and teams that you beat in 17?
Listen, the Yankees have had a few comments out there. You know, our opinion is, you know, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
Okay. I'm just going to spare you the teeing off again, because that was just, it was completely ridiculous and completely moronic to say it had no impact. Well, it took a little bit of time, and everyone's got to get their question in. And one thing that annoys me is you got to listen in this business, especially when you're at a press conference. People are too concerned about what they're going to ask next and not listening. Thank God somebody was listening when Jim Crane said that. And I believe, by the sound of his voice, I believe it's Jeff Passan of ESPN.com. It took about 3.5 minutes, but finally somebody followed up with, hold on, wait a minute, it didn't impact the game?
Jim, when talking about the Yankees there, did you say you feel like this didn't impact the game? And what do you mean by that?
I didn't say it didn't impact the game.
Oh, yeah, you did. Thank you, Jeff. Hold on. Yeah, you did. You said it didn't. And he said this previously. He said this in the apology to baseball weeks ago. He has said this on record before that he doesn't believe it. But by that point, that was nearing the end of the press conference, and that was basically where Jim Crane was in full quicksand mode. Like, he was in full, get me out of here, I'm thrashing around, and every time I try to get out of a situation, I get pulled in deeper and deeper. And then eventually, we got to the last question. This is Marley Rivera of ESPN, man, and she drove home the final nail on Jim Crane.
Jim, sign stealing is a distinct advantage for the hitter. So how is it that it doesn't affect competition? So then what are you guys apologizing for?
We're apologizing because we broke the rules.
But isn't sign stealing a distinct advantage for the hitter? So doesn't it automatically impact competition?
It could possibly do that. It could possibly not.
Okay, guys, we're going to wrap up. Thank you, Dusty. Thank you, Jim.
Get me out of here. It is what it is. It could, but it might not. Just sitting there, get me out of here. That poor public relations guy, he was just hoping he made it to the car without being fired. It didn't go well for Jim Crane. And I don't even want to, I know it's easy to take a shot at the public relations staff, but you have certain situations in public relations where you're sitting there and this guy's your boss and he's the multi-billionaire and, you know, hey, look, Mr. Crane, we've come up with this plan. Here's what we're thinking of doing. Here's, no, you know what? Don't worry about it. I've got it. I've done this before. I'll take care of things. And then it becomes an absolute mess. And it became a mess today. Yeah, that was the get me out of here. And I get it. I know this is easy sports talk fodder. I get that, and I'm not to be fair to the Astros, but to be fair to what it was, whatever was going to be said today, it was not going to be enough. It was not going to be enough to satisfy the beast of sports media, of talk radio, of baseball fans. It just was not. It's not how we work as a society. Like, no matter what they did, it was not going to be enough to make us go, you know what, I'm okay with the Astros. But with that said, you had a press conference that turned into a public relations disaster. And then afterwards, you have the Astros. Look, this is what they should have done in the first place. Just accountability. Adam, can you give me Jose Altuve? Here's Jose Altuve. He had a prepared statement, but then they went to the clubhouse, they opened up the clubhouse, and Jose Altuve gave at least a little accountability.
Jose, 2017,
yeah.
Did you guys know what you were doing wrong?
Yeah, kind of. You know, and that's why we feel bad. And, you know, I'm not going to say to you that it was good. It was wrong. You know, like, we feel bad. We feel remorse. Like I said, the impact in our fans, the impact in the game. You know, we feel bad.
Thank you. That's a hell of a lot better than the prepared statement that you and Alex Bregman had earlier. Sometimes it's just easier to speak from the heart and just own it. And if you do that, you're not going to stop the story, but you at least can slow it up. The less you give the media, the less you give people to talk about, that's how you slow up a story. You put up a big roadblock. It's not going to magically go away, and this is not going to magically go away because Billy Ripken just brought up a great point. Oh, by the way, we still have to get to the Red Sox and all of this. So this is not a story that's magically going to go away for the Red Sox or for baseball or for the Astros. But today, just, it couldn't have been handled any worse. And for the players that, most of the players that did speak, they gave the token, we're sorry to baseball, we're sorry to the fans of the Astros. But then they were asked the questions, what are you sorry for? And they didn't have an answer. But we're sorry. And they weren't apologizing to other baseball teams. I found it funny. It was kind of like the moment of being a married man, where you're done answering the questions, you're done being in the fight, and you're like, I'm sorry. And your wife goes, well, what are you sorry for? And you're like, oh, I'm just sorry. I just want to end this. That's what the Astros were basically doing today. I'm sorry. Can you guys please go away? Guess what, Astros? They're not going away. 833-804-0910. We also stumbled across the topic, Michael Phillips of the Times-Dispatch. You can check that out at thefanrichmond.com. We were talking about the Redskins. We were talking about Ron Rivera is having a yard sale this weekend to get rid of all his Carolina Panthers gear. And who doesn't love a good yard sale? I love a good yard sale. I'll randomly stop at a yard sale. But what he's doing, and I love this, he and his wife are attending it and all the Carolina Panthers stuff, and he's going to autograph it, and there's a limit, two items per people, two per person. But all the money goes to the Humane Society of Charlotte. It's a great idea. He's not going to wear Carolina Panthers stuff ever again. So Phillips and I, as we usually do, just completely go off on a tangent. And we eventually got to the point, I would like to launch a T-shirt series line of famous losers. Phillips brought up the championship T-shirts that are made, but they're for the losing team, and they go to the third world country, and we never see them. I think it would be cool, because I see so many people, and I'm one of them. Like, I walk around, I have a Hartford Whalers retro T-shirt. And I've seen some people with Quebec Nordiques, and you can find the old baseball teams. There's the Brooklyn Dodgers. Like, you can find a Brooklyn Dodgers shirt at Old Navy. So Phillips and I are going to go into business, and we're going to launch a retro line of T-shirts of famous losing teams. And I asked what famous losing team should be in the first batch. And we came up with Super Bowl 51 Atlanta Falcons T-shirts, 93 World Series champion Philly T-shirts, 86 Red Sox World Series champions. What other famous losing team should be in our first batch of T-shirts? Let me go to the phones. I got Michael. You're on Sports Radio 910, The Fan.
Wes, how you doing? I had to chime in on this topic because I have the perfect championship that never happened, and it haunts every New England Patriots fan to this day, and I think you know what I'm talking about, The 2007 Super Bowl that would have put the icing on the cake and been the perfect season, along with the 72 Dolphins, but just it still haunts me to this day, and I'm sure there are T-shirts being worn in some third world countries to this day with the 2007 championship New England Patriots.
And, big old 19-0 right there on the front of it.
Oh man, it was the worst thing about it was at that time I was watching that game in a Giants bar at Mulligan's over on the south side, and I had no idea at that time it was a Giants bar that they were hosting the event. So that was even probably one of the worst nights of my life sports wise but that is still a tough pill to swallow to this day, not getting that championship. So that should be on probably one of your top five shirts if you're going to launch that line.
Yeah, that might launch in the first batch. I think you're exactly right. That's tough, man. That's adding insult to injury. You roll it. You not only roll in chilling your favorite team, but you roll into the opposing bar, and then they lose in one of the greatest upsets the Super Bowl has ever known. You, sir, may not be wearing that 19-0 T-shirt, but I bet you a lot of those Giants fans were. They would troll you on that one. Just throwing it out there. There's a T-shirt for everything. I'm just trying to think of retirement. Actually, I'm just trying to think of daycare payments, folks. I'm just straight cash on me. Come back with Carl tonight and also do the 5:45 rewind if you miss Pep Hamilton, the head coach of the DC Defenders. We'll bring that back before we close up shop on a Thursday. Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
You're listening to Wes McElroy on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and now on 105.1 FM. It's the call of the night.
20, 10, touchdown, scoop and score, Virginia Tech Hokies.
Drives the lane, inside, Santos Silva, another dunk by the big fella.
Here's Ovechkin coming through, the pass, he scores! Oh, what a deflection!
Brought to you by Yardworks, 1 yard at a time. Find a location near you at yardworksva.com.
Yes, sir!
Nothing. No, you know, look, I don't feel sorry for us. This is college basketball. I'm as mad as the players are, but this was unacceptable. We'll address it tomorrow in practice, and we better be ready to play. If not, if we play like this on Saturday, Richmond will crush us. And, you know, we have to have a level of urgency that's through the roof. And I don't feel sorry for us, and I don't think anyone else does. We got to figure this out. And if we play like this, the rest of the way, teams are going to crush us. And so... We got work to do.
That is Mike Rhodes, the head coach of the VCU Rams. We're going to give that the call tonight. That was as candid, as concise, and as clear as can be. Call tonight brought to you by Yardworks. Visit one of their 7 area locations. Find one of the locations or find out more about Yardworks, making the RVA beautiful, more beautiful, 1 yard at a time. Yardworksva.com. Thank you very much. And VCU last night, I said that there were 2 messes in sports to clean up today. One, the Astros. The other one, VCU. And there's no other way to put it. That was a mess last night. I believe I labeled it earlier as a big turd. It was a turd of a performance. No other way to put it. No sugarcoating it. No soft sell. They got work last night by a team. And I hate to pause and say George Mason's a bad team. It's not fair. They're a bottom of the conference team. Last night, they were the better team. And good job by Dave Paulson. He's a good coach, a really good coach with a team that's lost key players, including their best player. Had a really good plan last night. Had a good plan from Marcus Santos Silva. They did a good job of slowing up VCU's offense. And in a way, they flipped the script on VCU by making it very difficult for them to get over the line, and they ate up part of the shot clock. So, great job by Mason. But VCU last night, of all the good things that Mason did, there was also a lot of self-inflicted wounds by VCU. And I said earlier, I don't want to hear anything about the refs. They weren't good last night, but I don't want to hear anything about it. That loss, that was on this team. For VCU, it's just an all-too-familiar pattern, and it's a lack of urgency. Get down, kick it in gear. And sometimes they fired it up and survived, and other times they haven't against good teams. Last night, it was against a bad record team, and they got the hole dug too deep, including that 16-0 run in the second half. But I look at VCU, and I'll own it. I'll wear it on the show. I was fooled. I thought this team, after going up to Rhode Island, after playing Richmond the way that they did, going into Rhode Island that first half, I thought they learned their lesson. And the urgency, the way that they came out against Davidson, I thought, okay, they get it. They understand it. The seniors do. And last night, Dariante Jenkins, he took that game by the reins in the first half. He could feel that there was no urgency. Marcus Evans, I put in a request for an update on Marcus Evans. There is none. He was limping last night. I don't even know. That's not fair to say. He was limping, then he was gimpy, and then he barely made it to the bench and didn't return with 5 minutes left to go. Marcus Evans has been playing through a whole hell of a lot. And I don't know his status for Saturday, but that didn't look good last night. Like he is really banged up. And last night had a couple collisions there where the knee hit, and he could not finish the game. But last night, I thought Isaac Van, Dariante Jenkins, I thought those guys paved the way. And I thought Dariante, especially in the first half, he was playing with a sense of these other guys are not feeling it. I got to bring the urgency, which – I said this team; those guys are going to have to lead this team. But last night, that's on the team. There's certain losses where we can look and go, you can go and look at the other team and go, oh, they're better than, all right, they're just better. I get it. Like Dayton, they're better than Rhode Island. They're better than VCU. I get when you lose that game. There's other games where you can go, the style's not working, the offensive scheme, yada, yada. No, this is not on the coach. This is not on the coaching staff. This is not on the scheme. It's not on the officials. It's on the players. At this point of the season, to not have the urgency, and I understand it, they're college athletes. You can't get up for every game. You're not going, Virginia Tech is not going to get up for every football game. They'll get up for Miami. They'll get up for that game against UVA. But are they going to get up against, who do they play, like North Montana Tech State next year? They have some goofy non-conference game. They're not going to get up for that game. I understand it. I've been around student athletes long enough. I understand George Mason is not Dayton or Rhode Island or Richmond. But you know what? At this juncture of the season, in February, knowing where you were in the bubble to not come out and have that that urgency, really? Nope. Sorry. I know it feels a little icky for some people and uncomfortable to criticize college players because they're student athletes. But sorry, last night, that's on this VCU team. And this was on the players. And a lack of focus and urgency and sticking with what works. Because when they stick with what works, it works. And now you get Richmond, who's healthy, and they got Blake Francis back. And they did exactly what they were supposed to do last night. They took care of their business up against LaSalle. And this is going to be a fascinating battle on Saturday because both need this game. Richmond, they don't have many more resume-building opportunities. VCU, they're not dead in the water. But they made life a lot tougher for themselves. They got Dayton after this. They got St. Louis after this. Richmond's a big game. So what was already VCU and Richmond in a big game, it just became even bigger for both on Saturday. Coverage begins at 3:30. You can catch it right here on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM. We may be joined by Blake Francis on the show tomorrow. We'll tell you what else is in store for tomorrow. And if you miss Pep Hamilton, head coach of the D.C. Defenders of the XFL, we'll bring that back next in our 5:45 rewind on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
You're listening to Wes McElroy on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and now on 105.1 FM.
Coming up with the show tomorrow, of course, Parney will be here from the Flying Squirrels in the 4 o'clock happy hour. Can't wait to get his thoughts on the Astros and all the news out of Major League Baseball. If you missed any of our guests today, a lot on the Astros, a lot on VCU last night. Tomorrow we'll be spending time on VCU in Richmond with a quick turnaround of that game being on Saturday, which, by the way, coverage begins at 3:30 here on Saturday from the Robins Center. So we talked a lot of basketball, a lot of baseball, but earlier in the show, first hour of the show, we were joined by XFL DC Defenders head coach Pep Hamilton. We'll bring it back in our 5:45 rewind.
What did you miss while you were at work? Don't worry. We've got you covered. It's the 5:45 rewind.
Coach, thanks for joining us here in Richmond.
Thanks for having me. We're excited to get back out on the field this weekend against the New York Guardians Saturday at 2 p.m. We would love for some folks to come up from Richmond, Virginia to enjoy Audi Field with the Defenders.
Well, people came out last week, and Coach, talk about first impressions. One of the first things, as everything's just settling in, I thought it was a great debut, not only because of what you saw on the field, but it almost felt like an instant vibe between team and town, and it almost felt like there was an instant connection between you and the fans that were there at Audi Field.
Yeah, it was great to feel the energy that we had at the stadium last Saturday. And I think it all started with a fan event, meet and greet event we had a couple weeks prior. And our players were super excited to see how many folks showed up for that event. So we want to keep it going. We're going to try and do our part and just work our tails off to make sure that we're ready on game day to go out and win for our fans.
As far as on the field, as a coach, you plan, you prep. But compared to the amount of time that, you know, in college years and the NFL and your preseason, your offseason, compared to that, with the XFL, did you have an idea of what to expect last week, or in a way, was it a pleasant surprise?
No, not at all. I think that was the biggest challenge going into the game. It's just there were so many unknowns with regards to how some of our guys would respond to the actual game environment. But I think the toughest task for us was trying to prepare for a ghost opponent. And what I mean when I say that is we didn't have a lot of evidence of how their defense and or their offense would come out and play against our team. And it was easier to find film on Jim Zorn and the things that he had done in the past, considering he was the former coach of the Redskins. And it's the same for Kevin Gilbride. You know, it's easy for us to find film on the offensive head coaches that's been around for quite some time. But it's a tougher task to find just evidence of how their defenses are going to play. And so early in the game, it was more of a filling out process. But it was good to see our guys get calibrated and see our coaches make the adjustments that gave us a chance to go out and really do a better job in the second half of scoring points.
What impressed you the most, Coach?
Oh, I think the one thing that impressed me was our defense and the way they took the ball away and the fact that we didn't turn the ball over on offense. Not to say that we don't have a lot to work on, because we do. We didn't run the ball as well as I would have liked, and we got to be able to run the football to finish people off at winning time. But taking the ball away and not turning the ball over typically leads to a W in the win column.
He is Coach Pep Hamilton of the D.C. Defenders joining us here on the Fan, Sports Radio 910 and 105.1 FM here in Richmond. You coached in college, you coach in the NFL. We're about the same age, and we remember the first version of the XFL. What was appealing to you about the XFL, and did you have any hesitations when you first heard about the opening because you knew of the first version of the XFL?
Well, I think for me, it started with my prior relationship with our commissioner, Oliver Luck. I've known Oliver for quite some time. I coached his son at Stanford, and I also coached his son, Andrew, at the Colts. And so just knowing Oliver's reputation and all the respect and credibility that Oliver has with me and my family, when he approached me about the opportunity, I knew he wouldn't be a part of something that wasn't plausible. So that's where it all started for me. And then just to have an opportunity to really be a part of I guess you would call it a startup. You know, the second iteration of the XFL is a lot different than the first. I do remember he hate me and all the shenanigans that were going on in the first version of the XFL. Well, it's different now. You know, I think when you look at the coaches across the league, you have guys that, you know, that are really established coaches that, that bring a certain credibility to the coaching side of the XFL as well. So for me, it was just a great opportunity to be a general manager and of course, coach ball, which is something I enjoy doing. And I'm like a sport fisherman at this point. I just want to win. I just want to win. I just want to win and get the big fish in the boat.
You got a quarterback, Cardale Jones. And that was one of the first eye-catching things. If you flipped on last week, you're like, wait a minute, I remember that guy from Ohio State. Had you known Cardale before he joined you in D.C.?
Well, I knew him as I was a fan of what he accomplished when he was in college, and his storyline was unique with regards to the guy never really being the starter, and when he was given an opportunity, not only did he win, he won big, and the talent is undeniable. You know, 6'5", 250 pounds, cannon of an arm, nicknamed 12 gauge for a reason. And he's tough to bring down. And so to have an opportunity to acquire Cardale early on in the process was a home run for our franchise. And so I really enjoyed just getting to know him in time and trying to help him to realize his full potential as a player, because he's in our league because he needs film. And I think, you know, if he continues to prepare and play the way that we saw week one, you know, ultimately he'll win the XFL, and we'll see what happens after that for Cardale.
Well, and you know this better than anybody because you work with quarterbacks, and that was your forte, and you mentioned Andrew Luck. But and I get this is opportunities for so many different players, and there's different positions out there, but you know there's only one quarterback on the field, and there's only one quarterback taking snaps, and there's not exactly a lot of reps out there, period. There's not a lot of reps in the NFL. There's not a lot of reps in college, and this is an opportunity for a guy who Cardale was in a camp, he was with a team, and I guess it applies to everybody, but you and I both know it's different when it comes to the quarterback.
Yeah, not only is it different for the quarterback, though, I do agree with you about the quarterback. It's just for some young players, you go to an NFL camp and you break a big, you know, you have an untimely injury of sorts, and you end up in a situation to where you never truly got a shot, okay? And by the time you get another opportunity to follow in all season by signing an NFL futures contract, are you way at the back of the line? Though there's nothing more valuable than the film that you're able to accrue once you get out of college, you know, just showing that, hey, I'm still playing football. All the things that you said I couldn't do, maybe I was I came out of school early, or maybe I had an injury later on in my college career. Well, I'm here now, and I'm making plays, and I'm showing everybody that I can do exactly what I know I can do, and that's play football at a high level.
DC Defenders taking on the New York Guardians this weekend. You can check it out and get up to Audi Field. It's one of their home games this year, part of their now four games remaining at home. Coach Hamilton, I'll let you run on this one since you're a football guy. Which one did you find more appealing, the new kickoff rule or the extra points?
Well, I'm going to tell you what, the extra points are tough. You know,
that's some strategy right there.
Hey, it is tough. It's tough, but it's exciting nevertheless. I think you know, it's fun to have an opportunity to always get back in the game. So, you know, that's exciting. That's exciting for our league. More importantly, that's exciting for the fans. All right, from a player safety standpoint, the new kickoff rule, without a doubt, is revolutionary. And it's still exciting. Everyone enjoys. I was at the Bears with Devin Hester. And, you know, anytime, you know, we had the punt return team on the field or kickoff return team on the field, I wasn't going back to look at my call sheet or pictures from the previous drive. I was standing on the sideline waiting to see if Devin would return one for a touchdown. So I know how exciting that part of the game is, you know. I'll finish with this, guy. Saturday afternoon, 2 p.m., Audi Field. It's like reality football, all right? You're close to the field. The place is electric. We got the 12-pack. That's what we call our fans that sit down in the east end of the stadium in the Heineken Zone. It's exciting, and it's fan-friendly, and it's economical. So come out and support us.
Go to XFL.com, click on the DC Defenders, and they got all of the ticket information. Coach Hamilton, let's do it again soon. Congratulations on week one, and we look forward to week two.
Thank you, guys.
545 Rewind brought to you by the Radio.com app. Download it today to listen anytime, anywhere. And if you missed any of our interviews, you can listen by going to thefanrichmond.com. That's it from me. Back tomorrow at 2. Until then, I'm Wes McElroy. You know me. Let it ride.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.